Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 95 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name's Garrett Drake, and I'm joined alongside Jacob Alka.
Thanks, man. How you doing?
I'm well, Jacob. My belly's full of T-Bell. Oh, it was so satisfying as usual.
Me too.
Yes, and again, I dumped beforehand, so I am. Yes. My bowels are clear. I'm ready to focus on the task at hand, which is talking about video games. You know, the things we love, things we've been doing for 95 weeks now.
Yeah, it's astounding. A lot of weeks.
Absolutely astounding.
It's over 2 years.
I can't believe we are 5 episodes away from 100 episodes of this podcast.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
It's pretty wild.
We just really stuck it out.
We have. I wasn't, and it's not that I didn't expect us to make it this far, but actually hitting this point is like, wow, we did it. So
we made minimal, growth.
We have.
But it's growth nonetheless.
It is. Growth we greatly appreciate. And thank you to each and every one of you tuning in this week. We can't thank you enough. It's exciting to have you along for the ride. Jacob, tell me how your week was.
It was good. I played, finished Horizon this week.
Did you?
Saw a couple good movies.
Okay.
And did my usual workouts, you know?
Great. Getting swole?
Yeah, getting swole.
Okay.
Recovering from my sprained ankle that I got last St. Patrick's Day.
Okay, now, did you get the sprained ankle while you were intoxicated?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you just woke up and
when I sprained my ankle, that was the point where I realized that, you know, why was I walking?
Okay.
Because I was in pain. I was like, why am I in pain? So why am I walking?
You sprained your ankle and then you realize, like, I've been walking and I don't know why?
I don't know.
Now, do you have any more details to add to that story now that you kind of talked to it about our other friends about it?
What did I say last week?
All you said was that you realized you were walking and you got lost and you walked to a gas station. A guy picked you up, took you to his house, he raped you, and then you
went elsewhere. Let's get that story cut off.
I must have misunderstood you.
He went to get his phone, dude, I swear.
Okay.
He didn't rape me. Okay. I didn't go into his room. I didn't, you know, change clothes or anything.
Okay.
I didn't take my pants off.
Right. Just checking. I'm glad you're okay. And then you ended up back at the hotel at 7 a.m. and you went and got ice cream for breakfast.
Yeah, McDonald's ice cream.
Okay.
Very underestimated McDonald's ice cream.
No, it's great. It's really good. I have it rarely, but when I do, it's a real treat.
Uh-huh. But yeah, at some point, I just gave my phone to my other friend. Decided to go for a walk.
Yeah, you just walked.
For a couple hours, you know.
Right.
Who knows why.
So how do you know it was a couple hours?
Well, I don't know, I guess. But, I mean, I got back at 7 a.m. to the room. I mean, we went out to, you know, go drink at like 10:30.
Okay.
I can't imagine that we stayed out till 4 a.m. Well, even if we did stay out till 4 a.m., that's like 2 hours or I was just walking.
Right, exactly.
If I didn't get back till 7, so.
My goodness. That is a great story,
I don't
Jacob.
Know all the details, so.
Okay.
That's the best that I could tell it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad, again, Jacob, I'm just glad you're okay. The closest I've ever come to feeling what you could call intoxicated, but I wasn't actually intoxicated, is when I recently had my nose surgery, and they gave me hydrocodone pills for the pain.
Oh.
And those pills make you feel a bit woozy.
Under the influence.
Yeah, now when I was actually in pain, just bedridden, I didn't feel it as much because I'm just laying in bed. Well, I took a hydrocodone prior to having a meal at Cracker Barrel with Casey a few days after that. And I kid you not, Jacob, the whole room was floating.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was just kind of flying.
Were you extra hungry?
I wasn't extra hungry, but it made me feel kind of nauseous for some reason, but I felt kind of sick and the whole room was floating and I couldn't help but laugh at everything I saw. The lady puts the pancakes down. I thought for some reason that was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. I was just laughing hysterically.
That's funny.
So I still have a whole pack of those pills left. I know Evan said he wanted them. I was like, maybe if I remember to bring them to your house.
It's probably not something you should tell everybody.
Right. So they're just hanging out, but I don't really like feeling. I've never really truly been intoxicated. I've been buzzed for sure, but I've never truly been drunk before. I just don't like that feeling at all. I don't enjoy it. So I try to avoid it as much as possible. The closest I've come to feeling a bit woozy like that was with the hydrocodone.
See, I do, but I don't like doing too much of that stuff because the next day you don't feel great.
No, I've heard.
That's bad.
I have heard, and that's one thing I'd like to avoid.
It's not worth ruining the next day over. But if you do just a little, you know, just enough, then it's all right.
Okay. So outside of video games, you saw a couple movies, you said. Which ones?
I did. I saw Beauty and the Beast last week when we shot our last episode. I saw it after that.
Okay.
And, I saw it with my mother, actually, because, you know, we were talking about, like, ever since last year that she's always been a big fan of that movie, the animated movie. So I told her I'd go see it with her.
Mm-hmm.
And we both really liked it. It's really good. I thought Emma Watson?
Yeah.
I wanted to say Roberts for some
Hermione.
Reason. Yeah. Hermione.
Yeah.
her and Dan Stevens both did a great job, I think. I really enjoyed the movie. I think I might like it more than the animated, to be honest.
Really?
Really enjoyed a lot of the musical ones, okay. Musical parts.
How do you feel about the new original songs?
Yeah, I really liked the one that the Beast sang, like, climbing up the tower as mm-hmm. Belle was leaving.
Okay.
That was a really good song, I feel like. And also saw Power Rangers with you and your gal.
You did.
And another friend, but we have our review on youtube.com/itsobviousgaming.
We do.
And, you know, if you're thinking about seeing it, maybe check out our review. I think, like, the first maybe 15 minutes, 10 minutes are non-spoiler.
It's about the first 15 to 20 minutes is non-spoiler review, and we give a warning, like, if you want to talk spoilers, yeah. We do in that review. And we talked about Power Rangers for about an hour. We, for the most part, really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
So if you want to hear our in-depth thoughts, you can find that, like Jacob said, at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming.
Yeah. Too short. If you don't want to watch it, short but sweet review is, if you're a fan of the series, I highly recommend you see it.
Yes.
Otherwise, you might not like it so much.
Right. Yeah, it's funny.
Because it has its problems.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard even people, a lot of reviewers that I trust that were not previously Power Rangers fans who went and saw it said, mm-hmm. although they didn't think it was a great movie, they said they found a lot of enjoyment in it despite that fact. So, yeah, we enjoyed it as well, especially being a Power Rangers fan. Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool.
A lot of people in particular like the build up and the character, like, you know, the growing of the characters in the first half of the movie.
Right.
In particular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my favorite aspect, just the characters alone and their building their relationship was cool. And I hope.
Then they feel like it kind of falls apart later on.
Yeah. The third act was a little rough, but I mean, at the same time, it was classic Power Rangers, but I think out of our movies these days, we've come to expect a little more. But I have high hopes for the sequel. I think they're really going to do something awesome with the sequel.
Yeah.
So, but aside from that, you said you beat Horizon.
I did. Well, I don't want this to be all about me. Did you do anything exciting this week before we get into games?
Right. I didn't do anything exciting at all. I can't even tell you, Jacob, outside of playing video games and doing YouTube, nothing is happening in my life that's exciting. So.
Well, YouTube and video games are exciting.
Yeah, they are. That's the most exciting part of my week for sure. I mean, other than that, school starts back today, actually, is when this podcast goes live. I have my first screenwriting class at the Savannah College of Art and Design. So we'll see how that goes. I think I'm going to be right. From what I've heard of me writing about 10 short stories this quarter.
So how do you feel about writing in general? Are you a writer?
I don't mind writing at all, actually.
See, I hate writing.
Okay.
Anything to do with, you know, typing papers or anything, I do not want to do it.
And especially creative writing. I don't like writing research papers and stuff. That sucks.
Oh, yeah.
But that's why I don't think I could ever be a journalist.
Yeah, I guess it's different if you, like, you're writing something that you want to write.
Correct.
So.
I mean, I'm in the same boat that I have a hard time pulling things just out of my brain. I prefer to someone to present me with an idea and be like, okay, write something about this. I mean, I think that's a little easier for me personally.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes. I'm excited about it. And in addition to that, I have Design 2, which totally sucks. I'm taking it online again, so I'm doing a bunch of art projects during the day at my house, painting and sculpting and stuff, which is something I'm not good at all. But, you know, that's part of the process going to school here.
Yeah. Are those your only two?
My only two.
You're
this
just
quarter,
doing two at a time each quarter.
I am. I can officially say without fear that I have officially resigned from my full-time job as the technical director of the church I worked at. Now my last day is until Easter Sunday, the 16th of April, so I'll be there for the next few weeks at least. But it's a fun ride, and I'm moving on to the next thing. So
yeah.
I'm excited about it.
Good for you, man. You got to keep trekking forward.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm just going to primarily focus on school and try to get through that as quickly as possible.
It's
in addition
important.
To that, working on the weekends and still doing our YouTube thing. So that's definitely my biggest passion is this YouTube channel.
You'll have a lot more free time.
I will. Well, arguably, yes. We'll see how it goes depending on how... Because school practically killed me in addition to work. I mean, that alone kept me even more busy than actual work did with school. Mm-hmm. But regardless, I will indeed have a little more free time, which is great.
Yeah, so. You need to catch up on some games.
Yes, I do. I'm still trekking through Horizon as far as video games are concerned. It's funny because I started playing Mass Effect. I'll give a few impressions of Mass Effect, I guess. After playing the demo and talking about it last week, we were worried if it was going to suck or not. Well, the reviews turned out to be pretty moderate. There aren't really any terrible reviews, but they all seem to be between a 6 and a 7 from everyone across the board,
yeah.
Which isn't bad. I mean, that's technically...
That's what we kind of expected, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's technically a good game. And now my own impressions are I've played all the way through the first story planet, which is Eos, the desert planet, which I did play in the free trial, and I thought it was pretty cool. I didn't finish that planet entirely in the free trial, but now that I've started a new character, which, fun fact, I'm playing as the female writer.
Oh, so why'd you decide to go with her?
It's funny because I created the male writer, and I just thought he looked like a total idiot. I was like, I'm not feeling this. I was like, maybe I can make the female writer look a little better. So
you customized her how you wanted. You didn't use the...
Correct.
Regular portrait.
Yeah, the those facial animations, I just couldn't get over. I'm like, if I'm going to see those weird facial animations, I want it to be with a different face.
Gotcha.
So I created custom male writer. I'm like, well, let me try the female writer. I created one with one of the other custom faces, just one of the preset custom faces that pretty mm-hmm. much just looked slightly better than the other one. So I was like, I guess I'll roll with this. And I, for some reason, I felt like I just wanted to have a different experience because I knew the game's reviews aren't that good. I didn't love the free trial. So if I'm going to play it, I'm just going to play it a little differently than I normally would. So I chose female writer, and I learned, it's not really a trick, but something I decided to do that really helps with the facial animations. You can decide that whenever you're on a planet and you have your spacesuit on, you can decide that in conversations, this was like the previous Mass Effect games as well, in conversations you can choose to either always have your helmet on or off during conversations, and you can change it, the custom settings with your squad mates as well. So, sorry. I just decided to keep my helmet on at all times, and it covers practically my entire face except for the eyes. Mm. Now, when the rest of the face is covered, even though the eyes are doing weird things, it doesn't look nearly as weird because, one, it sounds like I'm talking through a space helmet, and two, you can't see all the weird things the mouth is doing, so it helps a ton in conversations. Mm. Now, granted, that doesn't help a lot of the poor writing in the game, and not all of it is bad, but I've heard a few lines, and
some funny lines.
Right, sometimes it even isn't even really the line that's bad, it's just the way it's delivered is a little awkward. But when the writing is decent and the face is covered up, it helps a lot, so I'm not totally distracted by how weird it looks. So that helps in the conversations for sure. I played all the way through the first Eos planet. It's cool because once you kind of play through that whole main story quest, you basically capture Eos and you start a settlement there, and you can see it get all built up, and there's like a big mini village, I guess you could call a space village, of all the people from the Andromeda Initiative that are kind of settling on Eos. Like, we're going to make this planet our home, we're going to cultivate it and bring it to life.
So that's not the end of the game? You find your place and...
Right, no, yeah, that isn't like the home world, but we're trying to cultivate all of the planets in the Helios cluster, the Andromeda Galaxy, I think.
No, we're just going to show up to Andromeda and just settle on every planet.
Right, so I don't know all the details yet, I'm still figuring out the story, but we captured that planet, and there's additional side quests to do on the planet afterwards, which is kind of interesting,
right.
But I'm now back in space, and I can choose to go wherever I want next in the Andromeda Galaxy, which I think that you and I, depending on how it goes after this podcast, we may or may not have posted a Let's Play of us playing Mass Effect, exploring the Andromeda Galaxy, which is cool because I'm excited just to see a new planet, because Eos was fine. I didn't have a ton of fun with it, but driving the Nomad around was pretty fun, I guess, once I got the feel for it. Going in and out of secret caves and mining for stuff and getting in firefights. I've researched some new armor. I think I researched the N7 armor, which is pretty cool. I need a lot more materials to build it. Developed some new weapons. Developed a semi-auto assault rifle that's pretty badass. I got a nice shotgun, which is cool. And I'm about to unlock the third weapon slot, which is exciting, so I can carry up to 3 to 4 weapons.
Yay.
But it's fun. I mean, I haven't necessarily been bored yet, but it's not blowing my mind by any means. And I shouldn't expect that from any game. Like, if this doesn't blow my mind, I'm going to hate it. That's not really what I'm saying. But of course, I have that expectation going into Mass Effect. Like, this should be a certain level of fun to me. But I'm still getting into it. It could get better, like we said last week. It may get better as we go on, but I'm certainly not bored, and it's surprisingly quite pretty on PlayStation 4 Pro. It looks really good.
Yeah.
Especially in just the gameplay alone probably looks the best. The cutscenes or whatever, cause some of the character models kind of look like they're action figures or something.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's pretty cool. So I'm not hating it, but I have been distracted by Horizon because Horizon's been in the back of my mind the whole time. Because not only do I still want to beat it and find out the story, because it still miraculously has not been spoiled for me. I'm very excited. I'm getting more into it, and I'm getting more and more interested. So the deeper I get, the more I want to play it. So the whole time I'm playing Mass Effect, purely to get to a point where we can make a video and give our additional impressions compared to the first trial. So the whole time I'm playing Mass Effect, I'm like, oh gosh, I just want to be playing Horizon so badly. So I did jump into Horizon for a little bit longer last night, played a couple story missions. I'm collecting all the collectibles, found another side quest. So the game's still keeping me thoroughly entertained, and I cannot wait to beat it. It's a goal of mine to try to get through all of Horizon by the end of this week. May not happen. I'm going to give it my best shot, though. But Horizon, Mass Effect is cool, and Overwatch. We also played Overwatch this week.
Yeah, we made a video about Orisa.
Orisa, pretty fun character, I might say.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, how do you feel about her?
I've only played her, a couple matches. She's okay. I mean, I think She's fun, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm trying to express my thoughts. Like, she's... I don't like how slow she is.
Okay.
I typically like playing faster characters lately. And I don't know. I've never been really a tank person.
Okay.
So I just don't know if I'll ever play her a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's a good addition to the game.
Okay. Yeah, I like her a lot. I like the ability she has. I specifically like the one of the I don't know what you call it, the gravity well or something, where you shoot the little ball and it sucks people in.
It's like Zarya's ultimate.
Exactly. That's super effective, and I actually learned that. I mean, I knew it would be effective when I was messing around with her before we actually played a match, but I used it in an opportune moment in a match where Winston was about to charge at me, mm-hmm. and I shot that little gravity ball behind him.
Reinhardt charges, not Winston.
I mean, I don't mean literally charging. I just mean charging like he was running at me.
He was moving.
So he's flying towards me. Okay. I'm like, oh crap! So I shoot the gravity thing out, lands behind him, and it's before he runs into me, it sucks him backwards, and I just nail him with my gun, and I killed him. It was awesome. So it was my first real Orisa play, and I could see where that could be very effective in certain moments in the gameplay. Mm-hmm. So
I saw a cool clip on Reddit where you know, typically Zarya and Tracer combo their ultimates together because Zarya, you know. Drags them all together and Tracer just throws her bomb in there.
Yes.
But I saw one with Orisa and Tracer. Mm-hmm. They did something similar like that.
Okay.
And it was a cool play.
That is cool. I even like her gun. Like you said, it is projectile based. It can be a little tricky being accurate with it. But once you get a feel for it, that gun feels awesome to me.
And she's actually a good counter to Pharah.
Okay.
And vice versa. Pharah damages Orisa pretty well too because she can't really hide behind anything because Pharah can just fly over her shield. So. Mm-hmm.
I love her Orisa's shield she can shoot out as well. Those are very effective as well. And they're very strong too, surprisingly strong. They don't break as easily as I thought they might.
Well, they're not nearly as strong as like a Reinhardt shield. Mm-hmm. I think a Reinhardt shield's 2,000 HP and the Orisa one's 900, I think. Mm-hmm.
They're very helpful though in the sense that let's say Reinhardt's blocking an opening. His shield dies, just Orisa can throw one out. I mean, if you're rolling with two tanks, but she could replace that while his shield's recharging and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've heard of people trying out both Reinhardt and Orisa in like defense or something, and that's so much shield.
Yeah,
it's
seriously
hard to break that.
Mm-hmm. That is cool. But yeah, Orisa's pretty cool, and I think that's all the games I played this week, if I'm not mistaken. Did you play anything else?
Yeah, well, I played Overwatch like we're talking about.
Right.
Just been playing, you know, quick play. I played a lot last night in particular because I finished up Horizon, and I didn't really want to start a new game right now. I think the next new game I'm going to start is Kingdom Hearts when it drops next week, the remasters, which is I'm pretty excited about.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to get back to those.
Yeah.
But anyways, for some reason I was just having a ton of fun last night just doing quick play. You know, I was just, you know, kicked back in my seat, just relaxing, just playing. It's just nice not to be playing competitive, like, you know, you have that extra stress on yourself. Like, I need to win this so I get competitive points and rank up, you know?
Yeah.
But in quick play, you're just like, oh, whatever. If I die, I die, you know? It's just fun sometimes to kick back and play quick play.
No, I agree. I mean, when we played the other night just to shoot that Orisa video, I'm like, man, I forgot how fun this was. I won't say I forgot, but playing it again, I was reminded of as how much I enjoy the game.
Yeah, it's been a while for you, too, so...
So it made me definitely want to play it again, especially prior to shooting this episode. You were listening to someone talking about just or Overwatch and Orisa in general.
Yeah, I follow like 8 YouTubers that talk about Overwatch.
Yeah.
I'm pretty addicted to Overwatch news and stuff.
Listening to them talk about it really made me want to jump back into it as well.
Mm-hmm.
That goes out to all of you as well who enjoy Overwatch. If you guys want to team up like some of us used to, it'd be awesome to jump back in.
Man.
So yeah.
We're on the PS4.
We are on the PlayStation 4. But that being said, this is the It's Obvious podcast where my best friends and I gather every single week to discuss video games, obviously. I'm not going to lie, I haven't memorized Preston's monologue from the beginning of every episode, so I'm just going to wing it. If you enjoy this podcast, if you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom, anywhere else on the internet, if you don't already know, we have a YouTube channel where the culmination of all of our content is found. It's found at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming, where you can also find the video version of this podcast, if you're interested in that at all. That being said, what else does he say in the intro? I will say something he leaves out, the time codes for all of the topics of the news segment of this podcast. If you want to just jump around, if you don't give a crap about something we're talking about, visit the description of this video. That goes for Spotify as well. I know you can see the time code in Spotify. You can click around and skip topics if you don't want to hear us talk about something, for your convenience, of course. And if you're on iTunes, or if you're not on iTunes, we ask that if you're willing to do so, take a few minutes out of your day to go on iTunes, rate, subscribe and review us on iTunes. It helps us grow significantly. We greatly appreciate that. And to those of you that have already rated us on iTunes, thank you very much. What else is something that he says in the beginning? I'm totally botching this
right
now.
Have you talked about where you can find us?
Yeah, I already said that. All of our social media is found in the description as well. You know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're talking about, Jacob and I, just before this episode started, we're talking about starting a Discord channel. Another gentleman from the community suggested this as well. Yeah. I don't know why.
Several people have asked us why we didn't do this before.
See, I'm going to be honest. I didn't even know this existed until I asked you about it. Or until you said something. You've known about this forever, apparently. Yeah. So I wish someone had told us about this before.
But I just didn't think about it.
Right. In addition to our PlayStation 4 community, which you can join as well on PSN, titled It's Obvious Gaming, not only do we hang out there and talk about games and stuff and share screenshots from all of our gaming experiences, but we're going to start a Discord channel, which can be sort of a hub for everyone to come together. It's a convenient, too, because it's an app that you can have on your phone, and we can all communicate there as well, which I think would be very, very nice. But I think that's everything, Jacob, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you did a pretty decent job.
Yeah, no. I thought it was pretty terrible, if I'm being honest, but I think I covered all of our bases for the most part. So thank you for your support, Jacob, and all of you tuning in. But that being said, you want to jump into the news, Jacob?
Yeah. Hey, man, let me finish talking about Horizon.
Did you not finish talking about it yet?
No, I didn't talk about it.
Oh, okay. It seemed like you had concluded what you had to say.
No, sorry.
Now, you said you finished it. Have you platinumed it?
I platinumed Horizon. The most satisfying platinum I've ever gotten, because it was so simple.
Right.
Probably not the easiest. I'd say maybe the order was the easiest one.
Okay.
Just because it was also quick, too, and it's such a small game.
It is.
But Horizon, I had so much fun with this game. If for some reason you haven't picked up Horizon, you have a PS4, you're insane. You should get
you're
it.
You're insane.
Like, get it as soon as you can, because it's so good. I said on our community that I didn't know if Uncharted 4 or Horizon was better, but I think they're great for different reasons, you know. Mm-hmm. I think Uncharted's so great because, you know, it's like the end of this epic journey that we've all been so in love with for so many years.
Yeah.
And while it's a fun game, I think Horizon's even funner because of all the, you know, the mechanics of taking down all these robots and all the different arrows you have and all the different ways you can take them out and stuff like that. Yeah. And then on top of that, the story in Horizon is just so compelling.
Right.
And I can't wait for you to get to it because it hits you like a truck, like everything at once. Mm-hmm. And it's so awesome when you like realize what happened.
I have to ask, Jacob, now don't spoil it for me. You may be spoiling it depending on how I ask you this, but you remember that prediction I made about what I thought the story was when we made that Let's Play back in the day? I was like, I think this might be a story.
I don't want you to say it, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it, but do you remember what I said specifically about Aloy? What I thought she might be?
No, not really.
Okay, well, never mind then, because I was going to ask.
Because
I really get the feeling I'm correct about
that. You might be, I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to find out very soon, hopefully this week.
Yeah, it's satisfying, and I can't wait. Like, it leaves, like, a little cliffhanger at the end, too.
Okay, that's good.
I'm excited for the next game.
I was going to say, depending on how the story ends, I'm wondering how it's going to continue.
Yeah, or maybe it would be a DLC that's after this. I don't know.
You think so? They have confirmed they're working on additional story content.
There's going to be next game, so. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, it was a great game.
Cool.
I don't know if I'll ever go back to it, just because I've done everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, really fun game.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very excited to continue.
It's a system seller for sure.
Oh, yeah, I would say so. Yeah, if you haven't already picked up a PS4, now's a wonderful time to do so because there are games coming out all the time. Nier's out. Mm-hmm. Neo's out. Persona 5's coming next month.
Yeah.
Farpoint's coming in May. That's if you have VR, of course, but still.
Kingdom Hearts this week.
Is that exclusive to PlayStation or is it coming to Xbox as well?
The remasters are exclusive to PlayStation.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap, dude.
Sorry,
that's
Xbox.
Wild.
I think Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to be on Xbox if it ever comes out.
I almost want to play Kingdom Hearts over Mass Effect right now.
Yeah, dude.
Man, Kingdom Hearts is so good. I have to play those again. I have to. I'm totally picking that. If not this week, I'll pick it up very soon.
You gotta do it at least before the new one comes out.
Totally.
If it ever comes out.
Yeah, I have a deep, deep love for Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. Those games really hit me hard when I was a kid. So, but now...
I barely played the Final Chapter Prologue. I barely played it because I kind of want to play the other ones first before I get back to that one. So.
Okay. Yeah, you and I did that Let's Play of... what's it called again? Kingdom Hearts 2.5 something. I can't remember what it's called. It's like the longest title in the history of mankind.
It's called Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep.
Something, a fragmentary passage. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Well, when Jacob and I did a Let's Play this Kingdom Hearts that we did, I think over a month ago now that we almost put out. It was like, it's kind of too late now. And
we didn't really...
It was kind of just whatever. Nothing really exciting. It was cool seeing Mickey and gang, but other than that,
It was a fun experience, and it looked good.
Yes, I'd much rather do a Let's Play of actual Kingdom Hearts this week. Would be awesome.
I'll make sure, I'll play it this week, and I'll make some saves to, where I remember exciting things happening.
Okay.
So we can, you know, kind of fill the video with maybe some boss fights or something.
Totally. Yeah, no, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Or maybe we'll just run through the beginning of the game. I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. Very exciting.
But hey, man, what is the news?
Jacob, story number one comes from Eddie Mackick of GameSpot. Quote, Bethesda has confirmed that Fallout 4's virtual reality version will be playable at the show floor at E3 this year, which, for the first time ever, is open to the public. Speaking to Hip Hop Gamer via Game Rant, Bethesda's Pete Hines confirmed this and also provided a status update on the game, which was officially announced at E3 2016 alongside a VR version of Doom. Although Hines himself doesn't play VR games often due to motion sickness, he has heard encouraging things from game director Todd Howard. Hines said Howard told him that, quote, this is from Todd Howard himself, Fallout 4 VR is the most incredible thing you've ever seen in your life. You can't even imagine what it's like playing in VR and how realistic it looks and everywhere you turn your head. It is going to blow your mind. It is the craziest thing you've ever seen. End quote.
It's classic Todd Howard.
It is, man. I love his passion. Fallout 4 for VR will be released in 2017 for PC on HTC Vive, though a specific date has not yet been announced. It also remains to be seen if the game will be playable on other VR headsets such as PlayStation VR or Oculus Rift. One can dream, Jacob, because yeah. I would love to play on PlayStation VR. I don't care if it looks like total garbage. If I can be in the Commonwealth in VR, even if it looks like Minecraft. Yeah. I just want to experience that. That'd be awesome. But that's super cool.
Yeah, it really is cool.
Now, yeah, I guess you sort of have to take it with a grain of salt because it's coming from the game director himself saying that.
Yeah.
But I that's the thing. Todd Howard has never failed me, ever. Now, I know a lot of people were disappointed with Fallout 4. Me, personally, it was what I hoped it would be. It was just more Fallout 3 with a slightly better paint job on it, and yeah. I enjoyed it a lot. So I get very excited to it. It's, I don't think, maybe I'll never get to experience this, because we're not going to E3, unfortunately, and it's only coming to HTC Vive. Will I ever have Vive down the road if I have a gaming PC?
Maybe,
but that's not even close to the foreseeable future for me. So yeah.
And
I'm
at
just
that
gonna
point,
have to,
it's going
to
be old.
Yeah, that point, but still, playing Fallout 4 in VR, I'd do that if it was 20
years
old.
What if there's like
old.
A Fallout 5 at that point in VR, though?
It could be. We don't know, Jacob. Time will only tell, but I got to say that that is very exciting to hear.
Yeah.
It's really awesome.
It's cool that they're, like, you know, actually doing this.
I agree.
You know.
Yeah, putting the time in to make it a reality is cool.
Did they say they were making Doom in VR?
Yeah, that's what they said.
That's awesome.
That is very cool. I can imagine that being pretty awesome as well. I'd love to use the new PlayStation gun that uses the Move controllers.
The one that's coming out with Farpoint?
Yeah, that'd be awesome to play Doom with that in VR.
Yeah, dude.
It'd be really cool. Fight some demons in hell.
I need to play Doom.
Doom's a great game. I would say it's a good summer game. If there's nothing that's happening over the summer, just play through it in a week and you're done.
I got a backlog that's just waiting to be played.
As do I, Jacob. I'm reserving the summer for my backlog to begin. That includes Nier Automata, Neo, For Honor would be one. And as of right now, those are the top of my backlist, but... But yeah, I still have Zelda to play as well, which I didn't even mention at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I've been playing a lot of Zelda, and Zelda continues to be amazing.
Is that still going well?
Yeah, I still just find things. Every time I play, I find something that's new, and I did not expect to find. I'm like, that is so awesome. So, and I that's the thing. I still have so much to do in Zelda. I've hardly played Zelda as well, so I have a grand adventure ahead of me in Hyrule, Jacob. It's wonderful.
I think I'm going to pick up my Switch when Mario Kart comes out.
I think you should. I'd love for all the three of us to sit down anywhere and play Mario Kart together. It sounds awesome.
I'm super excited.
Me too, Jacob. Speaking of VR, Ghostbusters VR has been announced, surprisingly, and it's already out on PS4. Here are the details, Jacob. It comes from Oscar Deus of GameSpot. Quote, without warning, a new Ghostbusters game has launched for PSVR called Ghostbusters Now Hiring. The virtual reality title places you in the shoes of a new poltergeist-catching recruit. It's an episodic series that opens with an entry called Firehouse. Jake Zim, Senior Vice President of VR at Sony Pictures, one of the studios behind the 2016 Ghostbusters film, told IO9 that the plan was to put out Chapter 1, see if people like it and see what they want, and then we can add Chapter 2 and keep going. End quote. But I saw a trailer for this, and it actually doesn't look too bad at all. Now, I have not seen the new Ghostbusters movie, but I did notice that... it's either Chris Hemsworth himself or someone that sounds just like Chris Hemsworth is in the game talking to you. So, but it actually looks half decent. Maybe we can do a goofy little Ghostbusters VR video this week or something.
How are the reviews for it? Have you checked them
out? It's funny. I haven't seen any reviews and hardly anyone's talking about it, but I caught this caught my eye because, I mean, I like VR experiences in general. If there's one that's open to playing on PlayStation VR, I'm definitely going to at least try it.
We don't get very many.
No, I think it's only like $7 too to play it, so I might download it just to try it. But I thought that was pretty cool. It's already out on PlayStation VR for those of you that have PlayStation VR. Yeah. If you want to give it a shot.
let us know if you try it out and what you think.
Yeah, please. Please do so. The next one comes from Chris Pereira at GameStop. GameSpot. I think people probably mix up GameSpot and GameStop a lot. That's just a few letters difference.
Yeah.
I apologize, Jacob. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, a spiritual successor to Castlevania Symphony of the Night from the same director Koji Igarashi, is no longer coming to Wii U.
Oh, no!
Instead, it's headed to Switch.
Ooh.
Bloodstained, which was delayed last year until 2018, is now slated for a release on Switch, PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Vita. The Wii U port was only ever planned because Kickstarter funding reached a $3 million stretch goal. The campaign ultimately raised...
Goal?
Yeah, apparently.
That was a Patreon goal or a Kickstarter goal?
I think so.
We're going to put it on Wii U if you hit this mark.
Yeah, I guess so. The campaign ultimately raised about $5.5 million, making it one of the platform's highest funded games ever, end quote. You know why this is cool to me, Jacob?
No,
I have
cool?
dabbled in a, it wasn't Symphony of the Night, but I have dabbled in a Castlevania game back. I can't remember. Maybe it was Super Nintendo. I can't remember. I could
I
be mistaken.
I played Symphony of the Night way back in the day, but okay. I was so bad at it.
Right.
I was just bad at games. I was so young.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever Castlevania I did play, I played for about, I would guess, maybe a day. Mm-hmm. I had no clue what I was doing.
Yeah.
But I know this is the beloved franchise, and the fact that it's a spiritual successor to Symphony of the Night, which mm-hmm. I hear from hardcore Castlevania fans, that's the best one. That's pretty cool that it's coming to Switch specifically. Now, Vita is great, too, but prior to acquiring the Switch, I would have been like, wow, I'd love to play this game on Vita, because every chance I get to play anything on Vita was awesome. But now that I have Switch, it's a different story, because that machine is pretty awesome.
You've played Shovel Knight, correct?
I have, yeah.
Did you know that Specter Knight is on the Switch right now?
I have
exclusively.
Heard. Yes, I have not played that yet.
That's something we should consider for a Let's Play. Maybe.
You think so?
Yeah,
we can do that, Jacob.
And if you're looking for something else to play on your Switch, I think that's a pretty good thing to pick up because there's not a lot of great stuff on there right now.
Yeah. All those indie titles will come out soon, though. I'm personally waiting for Stardew Valley. Very excited about that. Mm-hmm. And Bloodstained specifically, I think I'd love to play that on Switch on the go. I think it'd be awesome. Now, it's cool that it's coming to PS4 as well. I mean, once I see it in action, maybe my mind will change. But if I can take that game on the go, especially with the quality that the Switch provides, I think that sounds awesome.
But what about the trophies, man?
I know. But that's the thing. Like I said, I'm not really a trophy guy. I play games purely just because I want to play them. So, with the exception of Horizon.
What does that mean?
I've said this before. If it's a game that I'm just having a crap ton of fun with and the platinum isn't hard to achieve, then I will always pursue it. Doom being the most recent example. Ratchet and Clank. Infamous, The Order, stuff like that. But Horizon's been so much fun that I feel like I owe it a platinum because it's just that good.
It's so easy to get the platinum in Horizon 2. Mm-hmm. Like, you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't get it.
You think so?
No offense to those who haven't gotten it.
Okay.
It's just so simple.
All right, I feel you. No, it's very exciting that Bloodstained's coming to Switch. I thought it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm not even really invested in the Castlevania series. I'm not even technically a fan. But
same here, but I'm still excited for it.
Yeah, I'm interested in playing it for sure. Jacob, EA Play 2017 has been announced. It's happening June 10th, that's a Saturday, through Monday, June 12th. Those are the days leading up to E3 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the game's playable. This is pretty cool. Star Wars Battlefront sequel will be playable.
Ooh.
And more than likely, it'll be announced at Star Wars Celebration.
That's what I was going to bring up. Yeah.
I think that's next month in April. I think it's mid-April.
I thought it was in May.
I think it takes place over a period of a couple months, because I saw the one in Orlando specifically is happening in April. I think it's Orange County Convention Center or something in Orlando next month.
Oh, I'm thinking of May the 4th.
Okay. Yeah, that's like the actual Star Wars Celebration Day. But the convention itself, at least for the Orlando one, is in April. And I'm pretty certain we'll probably see, if not in the next few weeks, very soon after that, we'll see a trailer for The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting.
It's going to be awesome, dude. I'm so pumped.
Yeah, I'm really mostly excited to see Luke Skywalker in action. I hope we get at the very least a taste of Luke Skywalker in action. That'd be awesome. With the Battlefront sequel, I have high hopes for that as well. We've talked about that in depth in the past, but I keep forgetting that shooter's coming this year alongside the release of Last Jedi.
There are three great shooters coming out this year.
We got
Battlefront, Destiny 2,
mm-hmm.
which we're going to talk about later, and Call of Duty, which we're also talking about later.
We are.
So.
It's pretty exciting time.
Yeah. I know it's not like last year was like the year of the shooters, but I'm like even more excited this year.
You think so?
Reason. Yeah. Because there's going to be three great titles right there.
You're right.
I have a feeling that Battlefront's going to be even better than the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've learned from, you know, the gripes that people had from the last one. So.
No, I think they've confirmed that.
There's going to be a campaign.
Yeah, campaign for sure. And then Force Awakens characters will be in the game as well.
Kylo Ren, dude.
Right, yeah, I'd love to play as Kylo Ren. I guess it won't be exclusive to the original trilogy. I imagine a lot of that will be in there as well, but all the new stuff will be in addition. So,
if we can have young Obi-Wan Kenobi fight Kylo Ren. That's cool.
I agree,
That's Jacob. Something that I want to see.
Totally. Jacob, Xbox Games for Gold in April have been announced.
I saw these. These are exciting.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, we got Rise, Son of Rome for Xbox One.
That's awesome.
That's the one you said that, when you, what'd you say about not playing that? One of you said something about Rise. Maybe it was Preston a couple weeks ago.
I don't know.
I can't remember what they said. I think Preston said that he didn't think it was probably as bad as people made it out to be or something.
Yeah. Well, it was a launch title for Xbox. Mm-hmm. It was something that I've always wanted to play, but I just never picked it up.
Yeah. Did you play it at that Xbox event we went to prior to Xbox One's release?
They had like a little demo of like the arena mm-hmm. setting, and you fought people in the arena.
That's, it seemed pretty cool to me. Of course, anything at that time prior to Xbox One coming out blew our minds just because it was next gen, dude. Right. So you could give us the biggest piece of crap and we wouldn't know the difference because we were just so excited.
If I had gold, I would download it, but I don't. So
I don't know if I'm going to. I'm not going to download it because I don't really have interest in playing it, but that is pretty cool. The Walking Dead Season 2 is also coming to Xbox
One. That's also cool.
That is cool. I haven't played Season 1. I've heard that The Walking Dead is incredible from Telltale, but I've yet to play it. There came a time when we were working at GameStop, actually, when you and I were both employed there. I heavily considered playing it, but I didn't. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But that's also free. Darksiders is coming to 360.
That's a good game.
I did play Darksiders back in the day. I didn't play the sequel, but I did play the first one. I don't remember much from it, but that's pretty cool. And Assassin's Creed Revelations is also coming to 360.
Those are four solid games this week.
I think it is pretty good.
Or this month.
Mm-hmm.
And so of course, if you're on Xbox, you know, jump on those.
Yeah, I would definitely jump on those if I was primarily playing on Xbox. If I had to pick one, probably Rise. Like I said, I don't have any time to play it right now, but if I was just on Xbox, I'd totally play Rise.
Yeah.
Jacob, did you see the new Justice League trailer?
I did.
What'd you think?
We talked a little bit about it at our Taco Bell feast.
We did.
And let's emphasize the feast, because it truly was good.
It was. It seems like you had a struggle with the double D that you tried taking down.
Well, like you said, they were in a rush today. It was so packed there. It was. It's usually not this
packed. Yeah, the exit where all these fast food restaurants are, where we live, was more packed than I've ever seen it. I don't know what was happening.
It's a big day for
some
reason.
We barely found a table at our Taco Bell.
Yeah, we couldn't get our... We always sit at the same table at Taco Bell, but we had to settle for something else this time.
Yeah, it felt a little foreign.
Yeah, and Preston wasn't there.
Right.
So it wasn't the same.
It wasn't.
But we're talking about Justice League, not Taco Bell. I thought the trailer was... It was... I would say it's good, I guess. It kind of focuses more on... how cool the heroes are instead of, you know, what's actually happening in the movie.
Right.
Which some people may like, you know, because often trailers spoil the movie in the trailer, which people dislike. But, you know, I don't really know what this movie's about, you know. But the heroes look awesome. Especially in particular the Flash. I think Barry Allen looks so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see him in Justice League. But, this is me personally, but I'm not a big fan of like how dark all these movies are.
It looks like it's very... Yeah. You mean dark tonally or just color-wise?
Both.
Okay.
Like, the trailer is just so dark and like black.
Uh-huh.
It just gets me in a, like I'm not like excited like I would be for like a Marvel trailer because there's like so many exciting colors happening and stuff.
Right.
But in these trailers, it's just like, oh, gloom and doom, like the world's ending. But
I think they
regardless, like other... You know, it's still awesome though. Mm-hmm. Like all these Justice League heroes coming together.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I thought the trailer looked really cool. That's the thing about Zack Snyder. Especially his trailers always look just visually awesome.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, it does look like doom and gloom, but just the shots look very stylized. And I like the shots of Bruce Wayne on horseback into the mountains where he's trying to find Aquaman. That looks pretty cool. Aquaman himself looks really cool.
Yeah.
He just looks like a total badass. He looks like he has some personality to him as well. I love his line in the trailer where they're on top of GCPD. And Gordon's like, it's nice to see you playing with others again. And Aquaman's like, dressed like a... To Bruce Wayne, he's like, dressed like a bat. I dig it.
Yeah.
Batman's like, it's probably only temporary. That was pretty funny. I love the line, like you said, where him and Flash are getting in the Batmobile or whatever. He's like, what's your superpower again? He's like, I'm rich. That's great. So a couple good lines in there. And the action looks pretty exciting. It's cool that they're fighting parademons so Batman can actually slaughter them and not feel any remorse.
Yeah.
So it's cool that they're all going to be killing parademons, which is pretty cool. And I like the shot where Batman is driving the Batmobile and Aquaman leaps off it. It's pretty cool. So overall, it just looks cool. Like we don't really know the plot necessarily other than the parademons coming in and probably Darkseid or whatever his name is are going to duke it out with the Justice League. I don't know.
I'll say this. Like my expectations are kind of like low. Mm-hmm. So... I think I'll be like, you know, I think I'll be happy when I see the movie, just because my expectations are so low after seeing all the other DC movies.
I feel you.
But, you know, I'm much more excited for, like, you know, Spider-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, even Thor I'm more excited for.
I feel you. Are you excited for Wonder Woman at all?
After seeing the last trailer when we went to see Power Rangers, yeah. I thought the trailer looked pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, I'm excited. When does that come out?
I think it comes out
this
over
spring?
The summer.
The summer?
Yeah, I think it's June, maybe.
Okay. We have a ton of superhero movies this year.
We do. They're going to keep coming every year, too. Yeah. They're going to keep coming. Until people stop paying to see them, they're going to keep coming.
Yeah, so. I'm not, like, bummed about it. It's just a lot.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think Justice League does look cool. Like I said, I'm not super pumped about it either, but at the very least, it looks fun. So. Yeah,
and we know they can win Oscars. We got Suicide Squad.
Oscar-winning Suicide Squad. Have any Marvel movies won any Oscars at all?
I don't know.
I don't know if they have or not.
Maybe like...
For like visual
maybe like
effects
Avengers,
or anything?
Avengers or something? I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't checked into that, but that is
I'm
funny.
Sure Batman.
I'm pretty
something.
Sure DC may have won an Oscar before Marvel did, if I'm not mistaken. Probably. I heard someone make a comment about that, which is so funny.
Didn't like Dark Knight win an Oscar or something?
Yes, but that was before they started the actual DC Cinematic Universe.
Right.
That was kind of its standalone
thing.
It's
still DC, though.
It is. You're right. So that's pretty funny.
The Dark Knight is a beloved film.
It is.
It's the best Batman, in my opinion.
I would say it's the best. Yeah, probably the best Batman movie for sure. I love Batman Begins as well, though. I think Begins is awesome.
Well, I don't think Begins is the best ever. I would give, like, one of the... I love so many Batmans, it's hard to choose one.
I mean, this is coming from the guy that also loves Batman Forever, because it holds a it holds a place in my heart, because I loved it as a kid.
It's a good laugh.
Mm-hmm. I love
the
style.
It's a
style.
Good comedy.
Yeah, it's a good action comedy for sure. I just love the style of both Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. As terrible as those movies are, I think they're very stylized and it's a lot of fun. So definitely not the way I prefer Batman to be, but when I'm in the mood, those movies are awesome.
I have a very fond memory of Batman and Robin. When I was sick, when I was little, my mom used to teach preschool at this church. It's a local one in town. And I was sick one day, so she had to take me to work with her. And I stayed in this, like, playroom and just watched that movie over and over again all day.
Mm-hmm.
I just sat there and I loved every second of it.
That sounds awesome. Yeah,
but I was
sick,
so, you know, it had its struggles.
I have a similar story. When I was sick in elementary school, at one point I had strep throat for about a week. I was at least home for a few days. I watched Batman Forever 4 times in one day.
Wow.
It's the most I've ever watched
that
movie.
That's probably what I did.
My mom just let me watch it over and over and over again. I love that movie. So, good times. Jacob, the next one comes from Eddie Mackick of GameSpot. Quote, I find this rather exciting, Jacob. That's not his quote. This is his quote.
Ubisoft, he said my name.
Right. Ubisoft has revealed that it's working on an Assassin's Creed TV series. Assassin's Creed head of content Azeza confirmed this during a Reddit AMA this week, though he's declined to share any specifics about it. Quote, we will take our time to get sure. That doesn't make any sense. I'm going to change get to make. To make sure we deliver something we can be proud of, he said. An Assassin's Creed TV show is yet to be formally announced. Last year, Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot said the company was in talks with Netflix for a series, but he did not say which Ubisoft property might be spun into a show. It's possible Assassin's Creed, one of Ubisoft's biggest and most recognizable brands, is the franchise in question. In addition to the Assassin's Creed TV show, Ubisoft is reportedly at work on a sequel to Assassin's Creed, the one with Michael Fassbender. GameSpot has followed up with Ubisoft in an attempt to get more details on the show. Also during the AMA, Azeza was questioned about the rumored new Assassin's Creed game, Assassin's Creed Empire. When asked, and we asked about Empire just once, Azeza replied, quote, LOL. He was also asked if this image making rounds is in fact from the next Assassin's Creed game. He said, quote, not AC, smiley face. So apparently that leaked image of what looked to be Assassin's Creed in Egypt is not Assassin's Creed. Hmm. So it could be something else entirely. I don't know what it is, but...
You think it's going to come out this year?
I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to say because, I mean, I'm in the same boat as a lot of people saying. I don't want them to rush Assassin's Creed because I really did like the first four Assassin's Creed games. I liked a lot. Everything after that has just been okay to me. It hasn't really blown my mind. So I'm hoping that they continue to take the time they need to make the next one awesome.
I hope they push it to next year because this fall is already...
It's pretty packed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All I can think about is like Red Dead just going to demolish everything.
I keep forgetting Red Dead's coming too. That's just another huge year for games and movies, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. It's a great time to be alive in the entertainment industry for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Or as moviegoers and video game players.
Lots to do.
No, but as far as the Assassin's Creed TV show is concerned, I think that sounds awesome. I'd love to see it, especially on Netflix. Anything that comes to Netflix, I typically enjoy just because you can watch it from front to back as quickly as you want or as slow as you want, which is awesome. And I'd love to see them start with an original assassin for sure and give them at least 10 to 13 hours of storytelling to do over a period of a season.
Yeah.
And whether that season continues on with the same character, each season is a new assassin, I don't know. They could do all kinds of things with it. But I think that's a really cool idea, and it's actually interesting to hear that they're going to try a sequel with Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, that's what's even more interesting about this. That movie couldn't have made money.
Right, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know how much they spent making it, but I know it didn't do well in the box office.
Now, I'm wondering if Fassbender will return, if they'll go in a new direction with a new assassin. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it just came out on Blu-ray and DVD, I think. Mm-hmm. So
now, if it were successful, I'd like to see a situation kind of how... what's his name? Desmond Miles? Assassin's Creed? How Desmond was in the first few Assassin's Creed games, where it's the same main protagonist, but he plays through different ancestors from his lineage. I think it'd be cool if they brought back Fassbender in the sequel. He plays as a different person.
Play as Desmond in the movie?
He's not Desmond. No, his name's like... I can't remember his name.
I didn't see the movie, so I don't
know. It's not Desmond. That's a brand new character, but I'd love to see him... I mean, that's the thing. I haven't even seen Assassin's Creed yet, but Preston said he actually thought it was pretty good, watching it on Blu-ray or Amazon or whatever. So I'd like to see if I do enjoy the movie, which I imagine if Preston enjoys it, I'll find some enjoyment as well. But if they do make a sequel and Fassbender returns, I think it'd be really cool if they brought in a brand new assassin. Like, oh, here's another guy from your lineage or your ancestry that's going to help us continue on through this mystery or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that'd be pretty cool to bring Fassbender back. And I feel like as an actor, that would keep things interesting for him to play a brand new character every film.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess we'll find out. It's that new Assassin's Creed game, TV show, and movie. They're really pushing the Assassin's Creed for sure. So, I do like the franchise a lot. So, I hope that all things going forward are a huge success for them. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Jacob, did you see the live-action trailer for Death Note?
Death Note. That's the show on Netflix, right?
That's an anime on Netflix, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure Death Note is an anime. I don't want to spoil it necessarily, but the synopsis is there's a book that this guy finds that whoever's name he writes in the book dies.
Yeah, I saw this trailer.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
The live action one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not on Netflix? Or it's not going to be on Netflix?
It might. I don't know if it is or not.
I thought it was. Okay. Maybe it's not relevant. Maybe.
But Death Note is an anime that's been suggested to me from multiple people for a while now, so... Mm. I'm watching so many shows as we speak that I don't have time to add another one right now.
Yeah, I still need to watch, like, Iron Fist.
I haven't started Iron Fist. And it's funny, I haven't started it because so many people have said that it's not very good.
Yeah, I feel like I need to watch it, though.
Yeah, me too. Because Defenders is coming, I'm like, I might as well watch Iron Fist.
And I still got to watch Jessica Jones, which I'm not really excited about.
I like Jessica Jones a lot. I thought it was pretty cool. It's much different than what you'd expect.
Is it the same length as like Daredevil and Luke Cage?
Yeah, all the Marvel TV shows on Netflix are the same length.
That's
but
good.
Do you know anything about Jessica Jones?
No.
Okay.
I know like what she is and what she does.
So. Mm-hmm. I was just intrigued by a character who's a retired superhero trying to make it as a private investigator. That alone sold me. That's why I really enjoyed the show. I thought it was cool. My favorite show out of all the Marvel shows is probably Daredevil by far. Followed closely in second by Luke Cage, specifically the first half of Luke Cage, the first half of the season.
And we got House of Cards coming soon.
In May.
Yeah. Oh, it's in May? Mm-hmm. I thought it was in April.
Yeah, it's not in April, it's in May this year.
It used to be in March, was it not?
I think it was in February and March, but yeah, this time it's in May.
All these shows are getting pushed back.
Yeah, it's going to be a big season too, I can feel it. I'm excited.
I read something on the internet the other day. Can you believe there's only, like, I think 13 or 14 more Game of Thrones episodes left?
Isn't that crazy?
That's it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so excited.
I'm very excited, too. I it's fun to watch a great show conclude. The only time that's ever really happened in my life when I've watched it from start to finish and
watched it conclude
is Breaking Bad, yeah. So it'd be cool to say we watched Game of Thrones from its inception all the way to its conclusion.
For me,
TV.
The only time I ever did that was The Office. I watched the very first episode all the way till the end.
Mm-hmm. Nine whole seasons.
I take that back. I didn't watch the first season.
But okay.
I watched it, then I watched, like, starting. When season two started, I was caught up.
Okay.
And I watched the rest of it.
Nice.
Even through all the rough years without Michael Scott.
Yeah.
which it was still a good show. It just wasn't, you know, the same.
Yeah, Michael Scott is a legendary television character.
Mm-hmm. Although him and Rainn Wilson.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they're great.
I would say another great television character is Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec. He's incredible.
Still a show I haven't given a shot.
Mm-hmm. I love Parks and Rec as well. I think it's right up there with The Office. Now, I definitely would take The Office over Parks and Rec any day, but Parks and Rec is a fantastic show. I didn't watch that from the beginning. Now, I've seen all of it from start to finish, but I jumped into it after they already had like 3 seasons. I watched it all on Netflix, but watching that conclude as well was awesome. Mm-hmm. It's another great show. But Death Note, we got way off topic there.
Yeah.
But Death Note, the live action trailer looks pretty interesting. Now, the show I've heard is great, so I definitely want to watch the anime before I see the live action version. But I had no idea they're making a live action version. Yeah, so we have that. We have Ghost in the Shell that's coming out very soon. I've seen that original anime. Now, I know there's multiple versions of that anime, but I've seen the most famous one from like 20 years ago in the 90s. But it is cool to see the live action trailer for Ghost in the Shell in comparison to the anime that I have seen and how many similarities there are. You can definitely tell they put a lot of heart and passion into this project. And that's why I'm interested in seeing it. Now, I watched the Ghost in the Shell's anime, and it's very dialogue heavy, and it's very deep style storyline, like, what are you and who are you in this world? And like, you're robotic, but does that make you human? And it's really deep subject matter like that, but the action looks really cool, and I'm actually genuinely excited to see Ghost in the Shell. Yeah. And I imagine I'll be very excited to see Death Note once I watch the anime.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yep, great actress. Did you see the Captain Underpants trailer?
I did.
What'd you think?
I think it looks stupid.
It looks pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I will say that I can't say this now, but as a kid, I was obsessed with Captain Underpants.
I was too. I read every single comic. Remember those book fairs we used to have at school?
Yes.
I got that every time that they had it.
I got so pumped for the book fair just
They're
because
great
Captain
comics.
Underpants. They are.
I don't know if it needs to be a movie, though. That's my thing.
Right, yeah.
I feel like a lot of people kind of know who he is, but I don't know if he's like liked, you know, like, I don't know if he's beloved enough to make into a movie.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like there are a lot of people like us that, oh yeah, I loved Captain Underpants, but I'll admit, I mean, I loved Captain Underpants as a kid, but I haven't thought about him much since I was a kid.
Right.
And the movie doesn't look funny at all to me.
Yeah.
Maybe
I like the art style, though. It's kind of looks like, you know, cartoony comic style.
Yeah, yeah. The animation looks really good. I like the style of it. Just the humor itself didn't make me laugh at all.
The humor wasn't top notch.
I mean, I'm sure all the voice acting's fine, like Kevin Hart, Ed Helms, and I think Nick Kroll is the other guy. Not Nick Kroll.
Kevin Hart's there.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin
Did you
Hart.
Say Kevin Hart?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure all the voices are great and all the characters are fine, but
yeah.
I didn't laugh at all in the trailer. I don't know if I don't recall laughing at Captain Underpants as a kid. I know it's supposed to be goofy and stupid, but
I do like how they had his like tra-la-la.
Yeah.
Because I remember him always saying that.
Right in the book. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll be hilarious. Maybe it's just a little teaser that I don't think is very funny.
It's not something that I'm going to see, but
yeah, I probably
I hope
see
it does
either.
Well, regardless. You know, I'm always rooting for any movie that comes out.
Right. But pluses, looks cool. Not totally interested, but I do have a history with Captain Underpants, and Preston really liked him a lot, too.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Well, Jacob, that brings us to our main topic of the show.
Oh, boy.
Call of Duty World War II.
What?
And Destiny 2.
What?
Have officially been, quote-unquote, leaked.
Uh-oh.
Jacob, tell me your thoughts about the Destiny 2 leak. That poster, your hopes and ambitions for Destiny 2. What's going through your head after this leak was officially revealed?
It's just exciting. I mean, I would rather it have not been leaked. I think, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I don't like leaks per se. I like when things are revealed officially, but it's exciting regardless. You know, we got this new poster with the 3 classes on there, got the big 2 on there. So it's pretty much confirmed that it's called Destiny 2.
Yep.
I didn't think they were going to call it Destiny 2. Just didn't
right.
sound right to
it
me.
Just kind of sounds weird, but I mean, I get it for brand recognition.
Yeah, I thought they were like just gonna keep it Destiny then have like some other name.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of like the 2 now that I think about it.
Okay, Destiny 2.
It's like officially like 2.
Yeah,
it's establishing itself completely apart from Destiny, so there'll be no confusion.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just excited. We don't really have anything to go on. There's
right.
gonna be there was mentioned on the poster about a beta this summer, I guess.
Mm-hmm. That looks like it comes first to PlayStation.
Yeah.
Granted, it'll probably be like a week early.
And people are, like, there's other things on there that, you know, say that it's going to be, they're going to be doing more PlayStation partnering in the future, which is exciting for us since I guess we're Sony. We play on the PlayStation.
Yeah, we're
not want to say Sony fanboys.
We're not fanboys. Hashtag not fanboys.
But in the there was another image that's stated that there's like a limited edition Cade 6 figure. I don't know if this is confirmed or not.
Okay.
Well, none of this is confirmed, but you know, the poster looks pretty real.
Right. So. It does look real. I mean, let's be honest. It is definitely real. Just yeah. we have to wait till it's officially announced and be like, wow, it's happening. But
right.
it's pretty much confirmed.
And then there was also this other image with a guy with a receipt from GameStop that has a pre-order of $5 for the PC limited edition.
Right. Which, how on earth did he pull that off?
I don't know.
Maybe he's a con artist.
But if that's real, then it is for sure coming to PC. So, yeah. Which a lot of people have been speculating, mm-hmm. which I think is good for Destiny. I don't think that if there's going to be a competitive scene building around Destiny, I think it'll stay console-based, like, kind of like Call of Duty or Halo. Well, Halo is just console because there's no PC of Halo, right? Was Halo 5 on PC?
I don't think so.
If, is it not so. Right now?
I mean, obviously, since they're doing arguably it is, because I'm pretty sure you can play it on Windows 10 PC. Yeah. I could be wrong about that. I can't remember.
Well, I think still Halo is still
I don't think there was
an
official PC version of Halo 5, though.
Okay. But, yeah, Destiny 2 looks... I mean, I'm so excited for it. Like, it's got me excited to play like the new update that they're releasing for the original Destiny right now.
What's it called again? Something of Heroes?
Age of Triumph.
Age of Triumph. I
Nothing
was way
to do
off.
With Heroes.
Age of Triumph. That's right, where they kind of redone.
Yeah, they like redid all the raids up the, you know, the light level for all of them. Made all the raid gear look super awesome. Mm-hmm. A lot of the raid weapons now, they turned into exotics. So that's cool. And they look different. But, you know, I kind of miss Destiny. I might go back and play it a little bit, but, you know.
Now, you can't take any of that gear with you, mister.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? What's the point of going back if you can't take it with you? But I'm super excited to see what more Destiny 2 awaits in the future.
Right.
What else? What's going to be new? What's going to be old? Will it be a completely new experience? Will they, you know, carry over some of the gunplay that felt good in the first game? Mm-hmm. You and I were
speculating at lunch if we're wondering if it'll feel exactly the same, just with like a prettier...
Yeah, which, you know, I was arguing that it shouldn't really change the gunplay because it was so good.
It did feel fantastic.
It would be incredible if it was 60 frames per second. If they can pull that off in a world like Destiny, I don't know if they can, but...
Right. No, I would love that as well. I mean, I don't have any complaints about it being locked at 30, but 60 is always preferred for a shooter for me.
And we're always talking about, when we talk about Destiny 2, we want more RPG elements.
Absolutely.
Bigger worlds, maybe some hubs in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the worlds and, you know, the different planets in Destiny, the original, they're kind of, you know, boring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same things happen all the time. Right. So if they can, like, kind of mix that up and, you know, make it more, you know, explorable, more things to do, more reasons to go out in the world besides just doing, like, you
grindy
know, story
quests.
Missions, you know, what are the dungeons called? Strikes.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They can add more to do in the game that'll keep people more satisfied and keep them playing longer.
For sure.
Because Destiny has had the problem of it being so stale for so long that there's people just left the game.
Yeah, I trust that Bungie is going to do big things with the sequel. I mean, this is just considering the fact that they went from Halo 1 to Halo 2 in such a large leap. Yeah. I know that's always not traditional, but the obvious thing to say about sequels is like, oh, the developer did this back in the day, or it's like jumping from Assassin's Creed 1 to Assassin's Creed 2. It's so much better. I mean, that's typically the case when you make a sequel. I mean, it's rare for a sequel to come out and it totally suck compared to the first one.
Yeah.
So I imagine they have taken these last few years of all the feedback they received and all the experiences people have had and culminated into an incredible experience. But yeah, like you said, hub worlds would be cool to be on a planet and there's like a little town on this planet where you can get additional side quests more than just, oh, here, go kill these many enemies or go collect these many spin metal or something?
Spin metal.
Yeah, go collect 20 spin metal and come back. We'll give you something.
Yeah, I can upgrade another node on my gear.
Right. I'm hoping there's like a guy that's like, oh, help, the Fallen have taken my daughter into a cave and they're going to tear her head off or something. Like, go save her. Like, something like that would be kind of cool. Like, narrative side missions that, even if they're grindy quests masked in a narrative, that'd be kind of cool.
I don't know if they will go to that route, though. Like, I just don't know what they're going to do.
And they did say in that earnings call, and this is confirmed, they said they have promised a cinematic storyline.
That's right.
Now, outside of that storyline, all the side quest stuff, I don't know if that'll also be story-driven. I don't know. Yeah.
There's been rumors of, like... You know, there's been like a toy line that was leaked by Megablocks, I think. And apparently, like, a description on the toy says, like, the Cabal have taken the tower.
Okay.
And, like, we're trying to retake it or
something. That's kind of cool.
So, like, maybe the Cabal in this game will finally get their spotlight because, you know, we don't know anything about the Cabal,
right?
For the most part,
I loved fighting the Cabal in Destiny 1.
I think they're the most unique enemy because they're military based in a shooter, and they have so many different. They have all these tanks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they have all these different kind of enemies. They have the Scions, the little guys that shoot like thunder waves or something.
Right, right.
Then you have also the big turtle dudes.
Yeah, big turtles.
Yeah. But I'm super excited. I can't wait to learn more.
As am I, Jacob. That poster looks cool as well. I'd love to throw it on my wall next to the very first Destiny poster I have up there. I'll never forget getting that poster and freaking out because I was so excited.
Yeah.
Every now and then I'll glance at that poster and look at what's that little city called in the middle there?
The Last City.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a cool looking poster. Every time
the Cosmodrome.
Every now and then I'll glance at it and be like, good times in Destiny. So I'm excited to throw the next poster up as well.
You know what would be even cooler?
What's that?
If we like that tower gets overthrown or something and we like have to go somewhere else on Earth.
I'd like that a lot.
Like you just get a completely new setting. A
brand new hideout. Yeah.
Maybe we can actually like leave the tower and walk out onto Earth somewhere.
Perhaps.
That'd be even cooler. Or maybe we don't even have a tower. We just have a hub world.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so much to speculate. Yeah. Now I imagine...
One more question before I... before we stop, do you think there'll be like any new races like of enemies?
I think there definitely will be, for sure.
You think there'll be like one or something?
Yeah, definitely, at least one.
They didn't even cover all the races, like all the ones we had, like they didn't give them another like enough story to begin with. Mm-hmm. So maybe they'll just stick to what they know and give them more fleshed out stories.
Yeah, I think we're guaranteed to have at least one new race. I bet there's a new race to play as well. I'd put money on that.
Do you think there'll be a new class?
I would love to see a new class, but you also, I mean, again, we're not developers, but I imagine in a developer's mind, you have to think, well, if we add a new class, how's that going to combat against the other classes? And right. What will it do to benefit the game?
Maybe they might change the other classes, you know.
Alter them a bit. Yeah, maybe.
Because I'm pretty sure if you look at the poster, like you can make out a Titan, Warlock, and Hunter. So maybe they're sticking to those three.
Perhaps the classic three.
Yeah.
Now you think you'll start as a Hunter in Destiny 2?
I don't know.
It depends on if they've been tweaked or not. Because I loved playing as a hunter. I liked it a lot. Because mainly the golden gun was my favorite ability by far. And I love the double jump that the hunter has. I've always loved a double jump in any game. But I was always interested in playing a warlock. Never got around to it. But warlocks have always interested me. So maybe I'll play as a warlock. I don't know.
Me too, yeah. I never really gave warlock a try. So maybe that's what I would go with.
Yeah, it's very exciting. But Destiny 2. I'm thrilled, Jacob. I imagine we'll see a trailer pretty soon, and then we'll see official gameplay reveal at E3 this year.
Yeah, Jason Schreier from... Is he...
We think it's Kotaku. Maybe it's IGN. I think it's Kotaku, though.
Wherever he's from, he said that we should expect something soon, like a announcement.
Especially now that the poster's leaked, they might as well drop whatever it is they've been cooking.
I don't have a source. Well, he's my source. I don't know what his source is.
Uh-huh.
It could be anything. So just take that with a grain of salt.
I'm pretty sure Jason Schreier is Kotaku. Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah, but we can move on.
What happens if I'm wrong, Jacob?
Am I
fired? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand. It's a huge mistake to make. See anything yet?
Hold on. Yeah, he works for Kotaku.
Okay, that's what I thought. Cool. Cool. Jacob, Call of Duty World War II, the poster has been revealed.
Another big leak.
Forgive me, it's not revealed, it's been leaked, but I like to consider it a reveal because it looks very real, especially all the steel book cases we've seen for the game as well that have been leaked.
Yeah, why are there so many different steel book images?
I don't know, maybe that might be concept versions they have and they haven't picked one, or maybe like one of them is for Xbox, one of them is for PlayStation, or it might be here's the limited edition, here's the collector's edition. It might be a little different. The coolest steelbook I've seen is the one of it looks like the beaches of Normandy. It's just a beach from a bird's eye view, and there's water going across, and the American soldiers storming the beach. That looks awesome to me. But the poster, sorry Jacob, look, I could be completely wrong, but it looks like American soldiers storming the beaches of Normandy in France. And that is so thrilling to me for multiple reasons. One, we've been speculating about Call of Duty going back to World War II for a while now. But I got to say, just from right out the gate, Call of Duty World War II, I love that title.
Yeah.
I love the simplicity. Yeah, because the first one, I mean, the previous World War II game from Call of Duty was simply titled World at War. That's an amazing title, too. But I love the simplicity and just... it's obvious exactly what it is. Call of Duty, World War II. I think that sounds super cool. And I'm pretty sure it is confirmed that Sledgehammer is the one developing
this. Yes, they are.
Like they said earlier this year, we're going back to its roots. And they didn't mean just boots on the ground, but they literally mean back to its roots as in World War II. Very exciting. I think the what looks to be, I don't know if the poster will be the box art itself, but that poster looks so cool to me. That is another one I definitely want on my wall that looks super cool. But I've been wanting to storm the beaches of Normandy in a next-gen game for decades now, it seems. I don't want to say decades, plural, but at least a decade, because the last World War II Normandy mission we played was a Medal of Honor Frontline. Now, as a kid when I played Frontline, that Normandy mission, D-Day mission at the beginning of the game, I thought was the most intense thing I've ever experienced in my life as a kid. And it was still a great mission, but if you go back and watch it now, it is, nothing's happening. It's like, mm-hmm. there's a couple turrets, there's like four guys on the beach, and I mean, the audio, like the sound design makes it seem like it's a lot more intense than it is, but it's a very shallow experience. But as a kid, I thought that was amazing. And D-Day is such a profound battle in the history of World War II, one of the most famous by far, that I've always wanted to see what that would be like on the consoles we have now, or on a PC nowadays, what they could bring to the table. Because we've seen some pretty spectacular battles in other Call of Duties and other shooters, but to play through D-Day on PlayStation 4 Pro or Xbox One or PC,
awesome.
I bet it's going to be super cool. And I imagine
scale can be so big.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I imagine that their initial gameplay reveal at E3, which they always do for the next Call of Duty, I think we're almost guaranteed to see that mission in action. That will totally sell the game.
Man.
That is exactly what they're doing.
Let's
feel
some
it.
Speculation.
Okay.
In the last few Call of Duties, there's been a trend of we're playing as one guy, and you're part of like a team, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they'll stick to that in this setting, or do you think they'll go back to what they used to do and kind of do like, you know, oh, you got the French moving on this front, and, you know, we got the Americans over here, and they'll like combine all these different stories?
Right. That's the exact same question
kinda
I was
like,
going to
I
present.
Guess kind of like Battlefield, maybe, how they did with their scenarios.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking the exact same thing when we saw this leak, because although I think that also works, I really like sticking to one character, or at least one group of characters.
I feel the same way, too.
I mean,
like just
I,
one narrative story of this, you know, this group.
Mm-hmm. Now, World of War, I thought, did it very effectively, jumping around. I thought it worked great. But after playing Infinite Warfare, ironically enough, now I know it's not the same writers, it's not the same developers over at Sledgehammer, but the storytelling in Infinite Warfare really surprised me. And
well,
like
they told
said,
a good story in Advanced Warfare.
They did, yeah. It was pretty solid. So I imagine if the writing continues to be great, the acting, especially in Infinite Warfare, really, really impressed me. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And I'd love to see that continue in Call of Duty, especially in a World War II setting. Like we said, Infinite Warfare almost literally felt like World War II in space. If they can bring that same emotional impact and performance from their characters in this World War II game, I think we'll have something really special in our hands.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been a Call of Duty fanboy. I just very generally enjoy Call of Duty every year, but Call of Duty, of course, we all started with World War II and Call of Duty, and I'm very excited to see them go back to that. Now, like you said, we're both in the same boat. We'd like to see them follow a core group of characters from start to finish. And if they do so, with the Americans storming the beaches of Normandy on the front cover, I imagine we'll be stuck with a group of American soldiers. Now, I'm not opposed to them jumping around, but I'd love to experience Americans teaming up with the French or the Italians or Russia or something, and get more of the our allies brought into it, just working together, whether it be in Europe or Japan. I was going to ask, if we stick with a core group of characters, it will either be in the European or Pacific theater, and it looks like it's going to be European this time around. But if they were to jump around, I'd love to see them do all the big battles, D-Day.
Can you imagine all like the epic like air battles and planes with like the Japanese and stuff?
Right, exactly. Over the Pacific, like maybe
like that's part of the reason why I want it to be all these different fronts, because we'll get so many different, you know, all the great fights that happened in World War II.
Yeah, in that sense, I hope for the same. Now, as far as characters are concerned, I'd love to stick with just a core group of characters. But if they are going to jump around, I'm not opposed to that really either, because we could get, you know, Iwo Jima, we could get Battle of the Bulge, we could get
maybe the game opens up, we experience like Pearl Harbor or something.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That was one of the coolest openings for Medal of Honor Rising Sun, was the opening mission on Pearl Harbor. That was a great, nowadays probably isn't nearly
as
cool.
Like a horrible thing, but like that's a way to open up a game.
Oh, I know, it'd be incredible. So I don't know, I mean, I have a lot of hopes for Call of Duty as well, but it's just in general very exciting to see that it's almost seemingly confirmed we are going back to World War II. Sledgehammer's doing it, and I wasn't at all disappointed with Advanced Warfare's campaign. I enjoyed Infinite Warfare's campaign more, but to see that they have a lot of talent in that studio and to bring it back to World War II is very exciting.
It's very exciting. Another question.
Okay.
How do you think the multiplayer is going to be? Is it going to be like strip down everything that we've been doing in Call of Duty lately, just go back to like pick your loadout and that's it?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think it's going to be like, oh, you got to play this class and he has this ultimate ability And you have all these different attachments. Like, how do you think the multiplayer is going to be?
Right.
If we're just guessing right now.
That's kind of fun
to
speculate.
Just to create some conversation.
Me personally, and I'm sure a lot of other people would say this as well, deep down, I'd prefer them go back to classic Call of Duty where, yeah, sure, create your class, but it's just very simple. You have a few perks and you have a kill streak, and that's pretty much it. I would probably
a kill streak or what?
Like your three.
You mean like COD 4 days?
Yeah, like UAV, airstrike, helicopter. I mean, I know it would be different in World War II. I don't remember what it was like in World at War.
I think there's going to be kill streaks, but I think like they're going to be more grounded.
Mm-hmm. That's
like,
what I'm
things
thinking.
That would actually exist back then, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Now, I wonder if they brought in like a similar situation to Black Ops, like the Pick-10 system, where I don't know how many attachments you can put on a World War II weapon, mm-hmm. but I don't know if they'll do it like that with kill streaks and all as well, but I don't know. Deep down, I hope they keep it as simplistic as possible. If they're going to really go back to the roots, I think they should really stick to that. How funny would it be and disappointing if they revealed the Call of Duty World War II, but this is an alternate history.
See, I was just about to ask this. What if they did like a Wolfenstein spin on this and just made it like completely, you know, fictional?
Yeah, I would not be into that because Wolfenstein exists and we're guaranteed another Wolfenstein that will probably more than likely be revealed at E3 this year.
That'll probably come out next year.
Wolfenstein?
Yeah.
You're probably right. Probably
maybe even this year. That might be another shooter.
It could be
a
big surprise. I mean, I would also be very excited for that. But I'm sure they're not dumb. It'll probably be traditional World War II, and I hope they stick to their quote of going back to the roots.
Mm-hmm.
So multiplayer is exciting as well. I just cannot wait to see this game in action because it's been a long time since we've seen. Especially, I mean, Battlefield 1, you get ideas of what World War II could be like on the systems and the PC capabilities we have now. But to see World War II brought back to life through Call of Duty is very thrilling.
Instead of, like, airstrikes, can you imagine, like, instead of, you know, like, people, you know, planes flying by, you get, like, some helicopters flying through, and you get, like, tear gas dropped or something, like toxic gas as one of the kill streaks.
There might have been something like that in World of War. I remember the top kill streak in World of War was the dogs you could call in. I know they had those in.
I'm sure that'll be in there.
They had wolves or something in Black Ops, didn't they?
Yeah.
At one point. Or dogs or something. I don't know if dogs will be in there again or what, but
it's
I don't
exciting.
Know. It is fun to speculate, though. So I imagine E3 will see gameplay for both Destiny 2 and Call of Duty.
Well, typically Call of Duty, we get, you know, and I think April or May, we usually get the announcement of what the game is.
Right.
And we usually get like a trailer or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't be too much longer till we know for sure, like from them, what the Call of Duty is and what it's going to be.
I agree.
But then we usually get multiplayer at E3, I think, or maybe later. I think Gamescom is when we get the multiplayer.
Yeah, typically we get a campaign mission at E3.
Yeah.
Usually nowadays at Sony's press conference.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Awesome. Call of Duty will be all over, everywhere in the next couple
Call of Duty's
months.
Activision as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Man, Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, Destiny, Blizzard's part of Activision.
Oh, man. Activision is
rolling. They're co-partners.
My goodness. Yeah. No, but that's super cool. I'm very excited, Jacob, and I cannot wait to see the official reveals in both these games.
For sure, dude.
Jacob, that brings us to community questions, our personal favorite segment of this podcast, because we can communicate with each and every one of you directly. A huge shout out and thank you to each and every one of you who take time out of your days to send us community questions. We get excited about all of them. We love addressing them. Now, to those of you who do not hear your questions on the podcast this week, fear not, because our debut episode of Community Mail is coming later this week, exclusively at youtube.com/itsobvious. Game. We're going to test the waters with it. It is essentially an additional podcast that is fueled exclusively by your community questions. We're going to be addressing all the ones that did not make it on the show. And believe it or not, there's quite a few of them. So we're going to address all of them. It'll probably only be Jacob and I this week because Preston's still out of town. But we're going to do that. We're going to answer all your questions in depth and take time to answer all of them. And if you guys enjoy the show and it happens to be a success, we'll consider putting it on podcasting services as well. Because like I said, it basically will be a second podcast on this YouTube.
The show is created by you for you.
That's a great way of putting it, Jacob.
Yeah.
But that being said, Jacob, by the way, I need to add this in. I keep forgetting to do this recently. You can reach us at all of our social media accounts to send us community questions. But if you want to reach us, the easiest way to reach us is either at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com, that's our email address, or Twitter at @obvious_gaming. Using the hashtag, no matter where you reach out to us, if you're sending a question that you want to be read on the show, use the hashtag ask IOG. That's ASK capital IOG. That way we know that we can read your question on the show. Because I'd hate for you to just send us a question that you just want us to answer in general and then read your question on the show. Yeah. And you're like mortified. We don't want that to happen. So always clarify if you want to write in the show. And we will be more than happy to do so. Or like I said, address it in community mail. I'm very excited to bring that to life later this week.
Let's get into them.
That being said, Jacob, question number one comes from Matt on Twitter. He says, if Mass Effect was made into a TV series, what would you most like to see, and should Shepard be the protagonist?
I'll let you take the reins on this one.
Okay. I think Mass Effect could make a pretty cool TV show. Now, I will say that I think every show should be streamable now. I'm really over the whole TV thing. I think shows are just so much better on streaming services because you can watch them from start to finish at your own pace.
I think it's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Now, well, maybe not. You know, TV has a pretty strong hold, especially with sports, you know.
Well, sports,
that's the only way
yeah.
to watch sports.
But I think TV studios, I mean, unless it's a successful show like Walking Dead or Game of Thrones, you know, for the most part, people are going to watch every week. But I imagine they do even better if they're on a streaming service.
I think maybe probably 20 years we won't be, we won't have cable anymore.
20 years?
Yeah. Right. I give it 20 years.
20 years we will be in our 40s.
Yeah,
in our 40s at our midlife
crisis,
we'll
be internet streaming.
We'll probably be at episode 900 or something by then. I don't know.
Maybe not though. Like maybe you know these cables have so much money and so much power at this moment that maybe they'll keep their stranglehold on you know the way we do things now.
Right. Or maybe we'll all be dead.
Yeah, we might just get nuked. Who knows?
Yeah, we don't know.
North Korea is making nukes, or you know they're testing out missiles all the time. So
right, yeah, they are just the biggest threat in the world, aren't they, Jacob?
Yes, they are.
My goodness. Well, Mass Effect, if it came to Netflix specifically, now you got to be careful asking me questions like this, Matt, because I get very excited about it. I always let my mind run wild. Now, I'd want it to come to Netflix or a streaming service. Amazon Video is great as well, but I prefer Netflix. I think Shepard would be a cool protagonist, but typically when I see video games adapted to movies or certain source material adapted to movies or TV shows, I kind of like to see a new take on it. I like to see that world brought to life, but I like to see it with brand new characters personally because I've played the story of Shepard. I don't really need to see his story retold in a live action version.
Yeah.
Now, for Mass Effect to come to TV, I would like to see a brand new protagonist, someone better than the writer. So I'm going to be honest. You know why I'm not as motivated to play Mass Effect? I know this sounds so stupid. Now, I realize that the writers, being the Pathfinders, will inevitably become the heroes of Andromeda, but they do not personify what a hero is to me, especially after playing Shepard, because Shepard just feels like a badass. He feels like a leader and a hero, but the writers are just kind of like, I mean, you can be, it depends on which personality choices you choose in dialogue, but even when you pick like the logical professional ones, they just sound like they're making it up as they go. Like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but we're going to hope for the best. We're all new to this, guys. Like, blah, blah, blah. They don't feel very heroic to me. Now, I imagine by the end, they're going to feel like heroes. But right now, they just feel like dweebs. They're like, oh, my dad died. I don't really know what I'm doing. Let's just do it, guys. We're just going to do our, especially the female writer. She just feels like, I'm not to downplay that. It has nothing to do with the fact that she's a girl. Just some
or
of the
is it?
Some of the yeah. It's because she's a girl. No, but the writing. It doesn't matter whether it's the guy or the girl. The writing just makes them feel like they don't know what they're doing.
Which has been a common complaint by a lot of reviewers that the writing is sometimes questionable.
So that's what I mean. Like I don't get pumped up to really play as them because I don't feel like a total badass. Yeah, no, of course in combat they kick ass.
Yeah, I've heard the combat's like the best part of the game is how fun it is to actually like fight things and stuff.
I think that's why it's funny is because in the combat I feel like a badass, but then when I get in a conversation they're kind of like, let's go over there and see what's happening, what's going on, and it's weird to me. It's a weird contrast.
I know
there.
What you mean,
but I would want a character that's cooler than the writers. Now, I'd probably want a similar storyline to, I think one of the best storylines in Mass Effect by far, like we said, is Mass Effect 2, where they're going on a suicide mission. I think a great first season of a Mass Effect TV show would be a character basically going through the story that Shepard went through. Maybe you can put a spin on it so it isn't like, oh, the Reapers are coming. Maybe it's a new enemy. I don't know. But they have to prepare for a suicide mission over the course of an entire season. And maybe season one ends with you getting to know all the characters, all these action moments leading up to them preparing for this mission. And the final episode of season one is them flying towards their suicide mission. Season two opens with the suicide mission. Craziness happens, and then you take the series from there. We could do a lot of character development and build up in the first season. And of course, have some exciting action moments, but you really get to know your character season one. They fly out to their suicide mission. I imagine if the writing's good by the end of season one, oh, I'm invested in these characters. I hope they make it. Big cliffhanger at the end of season one. Season two opens with this epic mission.
I could see it.
I don't know. That's just ideas off the top of my head. But Mass Effect is a brilliant franchise, especially the original trilogy. That music, man. I've had a couple music teases in Andromeda that are very similar to the original soundtrack with the synthy stuff. I'm like, I dig that. That's what I want when I play Mass Effect.
But see, I get the same vibes from when I've watched like Prey gameplay or the trailers, because I really like the music in that game. The same kind of synthy, like space vibe.
Mm-hmm. I keep forgetting Prey's coming in May too. Yeah. The beginning of May.
I'm super excited for that game.
So am I. Yeah, everyone at Arkane's super talented, so I'm pumped for that. But I could see them in the TV show going to the Citadel, going from planet to planet. They meet this new character. Hey, man, to play out the loyalty missions. Hey, I won't trust you until you help me take care of this problem, this different star system or this different planet. Yeah. They fly to a different planet and do, like, one of the coolest parts of Mass Effect 2 is when you go to this guy on a loyalty mission, you go to, like, these slums of this planet. You know, at the beginning of Rogue One where Cassian Andor is on that planet where there's, like, there's slums and he shoots the stormtroopers. You go to a planet like that and play a loyalty mission through just a random planet like that. Stuff like that's really cool to me. So
I've heard that a lot of people are complaining about that you can, like, romance the character's first thing.
And Andromeda?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, when you, like, first talk to them, you can already romance a lot of the characters.
As in, like, I can do you right now?
Well, you know, like, the heart symbol comes up for a dialogue option.
Oh, like right when you meet them?
Yeah.
Like, I guess
they've been complaining about that.
Yeah, the writers don't beat around the bush, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, like, oh, people love all the sex in this game. Let's make it available first thing, so we'll keep playing.
That's interesting.
I feel like in game you kind of have to, like, in this kind of game you need to work towards it to build that relationship throughout the game.
I agree. Yeah, it was pretty effective in original trilogy.
I mean, assume that's how, like, the original Mass Effects were. That's how Dragon Age Inquisition was.
You felt like it was a long build up to
it. Like, you couldn't just, you know, hey, let's bang.
Yeah. Hey, I got a couch in my starship. Yeah. Let's go pay a visit to the couch. I don't know. But as far as the TV show is concerned, just off the top of my head, I think that'd be pretty cool to see. But Matt, that goes to anyone else tuning in. I'd love to hear your thoughts on a Mass Effect TV show as well. It's a fun question. Thank you, Matt.
Also, while we're on the subject of Mass Effect, let us know if you're enjoying it in the comments below.
Yes, please do. And it's funny because I actually have two more questions about Mass Effect that kind of address that. The next one comes from Andrew Ash on Twitter. He says, people tried hard to hate on Mass Effect. I think it has lived up to the name so far. Thoughts? Yeah, you heard my thoughts at the beginning of the podcast. I am not loving it so far, but then again, I've only played through the first story planet. I have a lot more to do in the game.
Yeah, it's a shame Preston's not here because I assume he's been playing it a little bit too.
Maybe. I know he's been super busy. It's funny, we haven't heard from Preston in like 5 days. So I don't know what's going on. I think I texted him a couple times and I haven't heard back from him yet.
He's super busy.
Yeah, he is very busy, so I don't know what's going on with him. He may have been playing it and he may not have been. I don't know. But me personally, I'm definitely not. Like I said, I don't hate the game at all. I don't even really think there's much wrong with it other than I can complain like, oh, I wish the writing was a bit better. But other than that, the action's fun. Exploring the first planet wasn't thrilling, but it wasn't boring either. I was like, okay, that was pretty cool. And it's cool to see my little settlement come to life after I kind of complete the mission there. I'm like, okay, let's go do it somewhere else. So
yeah. The problem with this game is that it has this, you know, this expectation to be Mass Effect.
Right.
Because I think this game, like, on its own is a solid game. Mm-hmm. But because it has to live up to this legacy of what Mass Effect is, that's why it's getting like all this, you know, backlash.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I feel bad for the developers too, because, you know, I imagine they poured their heart and soul in this game for it to be ripped to shreds as badly.
And this is
as
like
it has
a
been.
You know, this isn't the original team that made the Mass Effect series. Mm-hmm. Several people are gone. So
right. No, but like I said, if you want to fix the weird animation problem, just wear your helmet at all
times.
There
you go. Yeah.
Now you can't avoid it. Now when you're on your the Tempest running around your ship or anywhere else where you can't wear your armor, you kind of just have to deal with it.
Yeah, but suck it up.
As far as the core gameplay is concerned, on all these planets, I can always cover up their faces, which helps a lot.
You can just close your eyes, just listen.
I could, but even then, like I said, some of the way the lines are delivered, I'm like, that's just straight up awkward. There's nothing
straight up cringe.
Yeah, there's nothing about that not being awkward. So I don't know, but like I said, it's not bad at all. And I am genuinely having a decent time with it. Not having a blast, but maybe I'll have more fun later on. I will find out very soon, I'm sure. But I don't think it's terrible, but thank you for your question, Andrew. The next one comes from Matthew Jordan. He says, I recently purchased Mass Effect Andromeda, even though the poor/mediocre reviews due to being a fan and wanting to make my own mind up. I am enjoying it so far, but some of the lines of dialogue are very poorly written. My question, does any one line stick out to your guys' mind as being very bad and making you wonder how it got into the game? Mine is from the companion Liam, as he says during a fight, quote, I think I made him angry. Maybe it's because I shot him in the head, end quote. For me, it kind of took me out of the game due to how bad it was. So he has a PS after that too. But as far as lines are concerned, I've, like I said, I've only played, I've basically played through the free trial twice at this point, and just a little further beyond that. But the one line that still sticks out in my mind is when you're getting on your ship, the Tempest, for the first time. The guy's like, hey, you can't get on that ship. And you can turn around and choose the option. We're like, whatever it was, I didn't do it. Something like that. I thought that was pretty dumb. But now I can't remember the line, but it was something, the way that Ryder delivered the line on Eos about something happening on Eos, that was, I'm like, is that the best take they got of that line?
Yeah.
And I'm not even an actor. You just, as a human being, you're like, no human would talk like that. Like, yeah. Come on. They probably at least did the line 10 times, I'd imagine. Choose at least a different line than that, because that take was awful. I don't know what they were thinking.
You never want to cringe when you hear a dialogue line.
Right. I mean, like I said, not all of it is like that, but every now and then there's a line that I'm like, that's the best you got for that line? Come on. But no, that's pretty funny, Jordan. I don't recall hearing that line yet. At least in battle, I might have been distracted. He might say it later on. But
I thought it was interesting how there's like two voice actors from The Witcher in the Mass Effect game.
Is there?
There's like the girl that played Yennefer is one of the characters.
Really?
And another one is, I think, the DLC hero, or not the hero, the DLC like woman from Hearts of Stone.
Okay.
I think that's what the DLC was called. The first Witcher DLC.
Yeah, I think it's Hearts of Stone.
Yeah. But just a fun fact.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's cool.
It was in like that video that was making fun of Mass Effect.
Oh, really?
So, like, showed side by side The Witcher and then the Mass Effect character.
It was the same actress?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were like, one would talk, then the other one would talk from the other game, and they would keep swapping, and you could tell it's the same person.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Maybe it was a different video. Maybe it wasn't the same one that
I think I have seen us. What you're talking about. I didn't realize that was what it was addressing.
Yeah.
I thought they were just addressing like how much better The Witcher looked or something. I mean, I'm sure that was part of it, but yeah. I didn't realize it was the same actress doing those parts. That's interesting. But Jordan says, in addition to that, he says, P.S., you guys always talk about Taco Bell, and I found out last week we are finally getting our first Taco Bell in Scotland.
Wow. Your life's about to change, my
friend.
It
is, Jordan. I am so happy for you and all those in Scotland that get to experience the sweet cuisine. That is sweet cuisine. That is Taco Bell.
Yes. If it hits you fast, though, don't be alarmed. It's all natural.
Yeah, it may run right through you, but it's all part of the experience, my friend.
You see, you just got to accept it and just let it come out.
Now, one has to wonder in Scotland if it'll be the same style we have here. For example, in McDonald's, I've had McDonald's in Brazil, and I've had McDonald's in the Philippines, and both menus have similar items, but for the most part are drastically different than the U.S. version.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that Brazil and Philippines are much different culturally than the U.S., and of course, Scotland is as well. But if I'm not mistaken, sure. Scotland's more of a westernized culture.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
they're pretty European. Yeah, I imagine you guys are pretty up to date. I haven't been to Scotland myself. I hear it's a beautiful country. I haven't been.
Oh, yeah, it is. I haven't been there, but I know it is.
From what I've seen, it looks amazing there. But to have a Taco Bell in Scotland, that is super cool. And I'm very happy for you, Jordan.
Yeah, keep us updated.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts once you have it, for sure. The next one comes from Christopher Callahan. He says, okay, guys, tell me this. As a regular listener to the show, when I can download it, I'm the guy that has practically no internet in Ireland. I need to ask. I hear you guys throw Thief around quite a bit as the best game ever. Okay, what did I miss with you lot? What did that game do to you guys? How did it hurt you? Why all the pain?
We love it.
Yeah. Christopher,
it's the best game ever.
There's no pain. That is the best game ever made, and we love it. It's very deserving of the platinum. If we're being honest, the only platinum that ever matters is Thief.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't played Thief and got the platinum on the PS4, then have you really played a game before?
All right, are you even a gamer, is what we should ask.
Let's just leave it at that.
I will say, to all of you who pick up a PS4 for the first time, especially now, don't play anything else but Thief first. Now, I realize it's on Xbox One as well, but it isn't even really an experience in Xbox One compared to PS4.
What's Dishonored 2?
Yeah, Dishonored 2,
when you put it next to Thief?
Dishonored 2 is a joke compared to Thief.
Yeah. And you get to play as a guy named Garrett.
Exactly. That's the best part for me personally.
Yeah. And he's a charming man.
He is. He's great. No, but in reality, I think we've addressed this before. I don't know why we make so many jokes about Thief. I think it's because when we picked it up, it was Thief. The original Thief is what inspired Dishonored, and Dishonored's incredible. And we went back to play Thief because we heard, oh, it's going to be great. Yeah. Like, we're going to play Thief. It inspired Dishonored, and it was just a very mediocre experience. And that was a time when PlayStation 4 had just come out. We were very desperate to play anything. Yeah. So we wanted it to be great, and it was just very, very mediocre. It wasn't bad. It was
fine.
It was just very average. And for some reason, we made a big joke about it, saying it was like the best game ever. And it's I mean, we're in a way, we're not joking. It really is the best game
ever. At
this
point, it's more of just like an inside joke.
It is.
We just think it's the best game ever.
Yeah, I don't know why.
There's nothing wrong with the game.
Right.
I don't know if it's worth playing at this point with so many other games out.
Right. I mean, it's a fine stealth game, I guess. But me personally, I'd rather play Dishonored. Yeah, but no pain, Christopher. It's the best game ever made. That's all there is to it. Next one comes from Brendan. It says, "Hi guys, I made the decision last year that I wanted to pursue an artistic career in the games industry. So I cut my work hours back in order to free up more time to practice drawing, painting, Photoshop, 3D, etc. I know it will be a long and difficult journey, but after 5 to 6 years of steady practice, I hope to be working on game art professionally in some capacity, even if it's for an indie title. Anyway, I was curious if any of you..." Sorry, I'm messing up, Jacob. "Anyway, I was curious if any of you have ever considered pursuing a job in the games industry. And if so, what specific job would you be most interested in?" What about you, Jacob?
I have not.
Not at all?
Hmm.
Okay, I have, and...
I considered it, or have I tried to?
Have you considered it?
I've considered it. I don't know what I would do, though.
Okay.
You know?
No, I'm definitely...
I've always wanted to make trailers.
Trailers?
Yeah, game trailers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be so fun.
Now, what part? Just editing the trailers or the animation of the trailers?
It would be editing the trailers for sure. I can't animate to save my life. I can't draw.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah, neither can I. I'm a very poor artist myself, but I have heavily considered wanting to work in the games industry, specifically in the media side of things. Even though the media side of things seems to be pretty wild right now and not a place I really want to be. It's funny because that's just, I mean, it hasn't been perfect ever, but more recently it's been so politicized and just, I don't care about any of that stuff. I just want to play games and talk about them. But the media side of things, I've always thought it'd be fun to be a video guy. And the media side of things, just making videos, bringing news or content or something. Kind of like what we do now, just professionally. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's what I'll end up doing, but I have heavily considered that. But Chris, Brendan, we wish you luck in your endeavor.
Yeah.
Don't give up either, because that's really a really awesome thing to pursue, and I wish you the very best.
If you're confident enough, we'd like to see what you've done.
Yeah, I love
seeing some of your work.
I mean, I love seeing people, great artists, do anything is always awesome, but especially when it comes to games. I'm really into that as well. But Brendan, yeah, seriously, don't give up on that, because that's super cool and really awesome to pursue. And I trust in time you will indeed be working professionally in the games industry.
If you work hard enough in anything, you'll be successful.
I believe it. I believe it. Next one comes from Sam Harris. He says, "Hello, Garrett, Preston, and Jacob." Well, Preston's not here because he's a dweeb.
Him.
"I've recently seen in the past few weeks things that have made me both mad and concerned about the gaming world.
Oh.
A few prominent gaming content creators have come under fire about things they have said or posted that have had some serious consequences. I won't mention their names, but you probably have heard about them. I want to know, what is your take in these situations? Do these instances make you concerned about being part of the gaming community on the internet? Do you feel like if you said something harmless in context that the internet will take it out of context and attack you guys? Love to hear your thoughts. Sincerely, Sam Harris, a.k.a. The Flash, 2189. What are your thoughts on all this, Jacob?
In regards to the events that he's probably talking about, it is unfortunate because... I don't know. The internet's
a vile place.
It's a vile place.
It is.
That's one way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And people just take things too seriously, or they get their feelings hurt too much. I just think it's a little bit ridiculous at this point.
I agree.
You know? But
yeah, we really don't have much to say about it because we're not really into talking politics or anything, but the whole... I imagine I know what you're talking about, just and not even them specifically, but even instances in the past have just been so dumb, especially when it's in an industry that's supposed to be about video games and entertainment, and people aren't even really arguing or getting pissed at people about that content. They're getting pissed at them about political issues. Like, why bring that into video games? Just talk about video games. I mean, of course, if you're mad at... If you guys have issues, deal with it outside of that world. But I guess it's just Twitter specifically, because Twitter... People talk as if they're just talking like friends and stuff, even if they are people in the industry. But it gets annoying when I see gaming outlets talking about politics when I just want to read about video games.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of hard to talk of or escape politics in anything, because it always affects it, whether you know it or not.
I guess. It's just... So. I go to these certain media outlets for a specific thing that they're intended to do, and then they drag... I mean, it isn't every news outlet every media outlet.
Yeah.
But
I mean, there is no art without... political input.
Right. I'm not saying leave that stuff out, but I'm talking about, like, they're not even talking about yeah. politics in games. They're just talking about politics amongst each other and yeah. stuff. And
like social issues.
Right, and they're just all ripping each other to shreds and everyone's pissed at each other. And I'm like, gosh. Like,
I hope that if we ever, you know, got to a point where we were successful, that we could create an environment that was, you know, we could joke about anything and people wouldn't get pissed off, but that probably wouldn't happen.
Right. It, I guess...
I would hope that people would come in knowing that, like, we joke around and...
Right. I feel like...
Don't take anything personally.
Yeah, I feel like most people know... Not I'm not even talking about us, really. I'm talking about mm-hmm. just in general. Most people that have communities built around them already yeah. know what they're all about. And that's... It's pretty much understood what their personalities right, right. are like, but...
But there's always those select few that, you know...
It seems like the outsiders are the ones that typically call out people on things like this. Just because, one, they're either bored or they just want to write a headline that they know is going to get a lot of clicks or something. I don't know. So... I really haven't read much into any of the instances that have been going on recently. I mean, I'm aware of them, but like you said, if we ever got to a point where we were potentially criticized for something we said, I mean, I really wouldn't be that worried about it because it's whatever. It's like, what? I don't know. We don't have much to say about it, but it is yeah. unfortunate for all those involved, and I don't know.
And I think, like, I don't know. I guess I'll say this. If we ever did something questionable, I'm sure that we would stick by each other.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We wouldn't bail on each yeah, other.
We wouldn't turn against each other.
No, that is the beauty of it.
We all share similar beliefs over here.
Yeah, we do.
So we've been friends for a while. So mm-hmm.
We are a loyal brotherhood until the dire end. Or the beautiful end.
Yes.
As we ride off into the sunset on horseback.
Yeah.
Entirely nude.
In Red Dead.
Yeah, see, Preston would be on his own horseback. Mm. He would be, actually, Preston would be on a donkey of some sort.
Oh.
And you and I would be on horseback on a white steed. You would have the reins because you're the strong one. And I would be also nude, but facing the opposite direction. I'd be facing the ass end of the horse, straddling you as we ride the horse into the sunset.
Oh, so you would be on top of me.
Yes, I'd be gazing into your bright blue eyes as the sun reflects upon them, and we'd ride into the sunset, into the
victory. I hope the horse is guiding us because I can't see where we're going.
Correct.
So. That's a beautiful picture. That should be a painting.
Right.
Maybe
Brendan.
Brendan can draw that for us, yeah. animate that for us.
Paint the three of us nude on horseback riding into the sunset.
There we go.
And then It's Obvious Gaming fading in the distance.
That's a great game right there.
That'd be a great poster to have on the wall.
Yeah.
I'd hang it right there above our It's Obvious Gaming banner. I think it'd be rather appropriate.
What if we had like a neon sign that like animated, you know, like... It would flash like three different things. It'd be like the horse galloping. And, like, we'd all be doing different poses in each space. Yes.
That'd be wonderful. I was going to say, I know we're not really a thing at all, but those of you that are artistic and enjoy drawing or painting, whatever it is you like to do, I've always been interested to see what people would do with artwork for It's Obvious Gaming, whether it be tweaks on our logo or our stupid faces or anything at
our
all.
Stupid faces.
Maybe something that has to do with Thief and the three of us. I don't know. I've always been interested in what people would do with our stuff artistically.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we invite anyone who is artistic to give it a shot. We'd love to see your work. But again, thank
you.
We've
been known to compensate those if they're willing to let us use their work.
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever it comes to either music or design of some sort, like, for example, our intros and our intro music that Dan Lester and Kenny Arling produce for us, we always like to compensate. For those that allow us to compensate, that is. Mm-hmm. Because we will always compensate those who create content for this channel. But overall, Jacob, that covers our community questions for this week. Again, a huge thank you to each and every one of you that sent us your questions this week. And to those of you that didn't hear your questions on the podcast, again, visit us at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. Stay tuned to the channel this week. I don't know the exact day, but probably towards the end of this week, we will be releasing the first episode of Community Mail. If you guys enjoy it and it continues to be accessible for the next couple of months, maybe we'll make it something that happens more often. Maybe we'll put it on podcasting services. It really just depends on if you guys enjoy it or not, because at the end of the day, we just want to produce content that you guys enjoy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it depends on the question flow, obviously.
Exactly. So, but we do have a lot to address, which I'm excited about. A lot of fun ones as well. So.
How many do you think we have? Like 50?
I don't know. I'll have to check, but it's quite a bit. But I'm excited about it. But again, thank you to each and every one of you and all of you who tuned in this week on the It's Obvious podcast. This was episode 95. Greatly enjoyed it, Jacob. Again, if you guys enjoyed this podcast, you can find it on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Spreaker.
That was Spreaker.
Yeah, it's a branch off of iHeartRadio. There's a bunch of them that are just out there, but the big ones are iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Audio Boom, and I know Stitcher's a pretty popular one too that we're on.
Yeah.
But again, you can visit us at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming if you want any of our additional content. We do Let's Plays, reviews, occasionally unboxings, and pretty soon community mail. So if you want to subscribe on YouTube, we would greatly appreciate it if you haven't done so already. What's something else I'm forgetting, Jacob?
Check out our Power Rangers review.
Yeah, our Power Rangers review. If you guys have seen Power Rangers and want to talk all things Power Rangers, if you're a fan especially, our review is available on youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. Join our PS4 community and our Xbox Club. I'm not on that Xbox Club a lot, but it does exist.
Be on the lookout for our Discord that we will probably be making this week.
Yes, this week.
It might already be made by the time this goes up.
It might be, yes. Our official It's Obvious Gaming Discord channel, we will tweet about it. We'll Facebook about it. All that information will be out there as well. We'd love for you guys to join it and officially start our online community in addition to our PS4 and Xbox Club, where we can all communicate in one place and share stuff. It'd be awesome.
Yep.
So again, a huge thank you to each and every one of you. We cannot thank you enough every week for tuning into this podcast. We have a blast with it. I can't believe we've been doing this for 95 weeks and all of you have supported us thus far. It's been amazing. Can't thank you enough.
It's almost been a century.
A century of podcast. Yes. You're correct.
I was going to say decade, but that's the wrong word.
Right. A century of podcasts. It's wild.
I'm going to live 100 years.
You think so?
Did you know that?
I believe you will, because you're very healthy and you take care of yourself. I hate to say it, I'll probably only make it to like my late 60s, maybe.
There's just something inside me that's like, I want to live a long life. Mm-hmm. And I want to see the world change.
Okay.
Whatever that may be.
Right. When the robots take over and slaughter us all. Or the nuke kills us like we talked about.
Yeah.
So see, all I know is I hope we get to ride off into the sunset of success before that happens. I dream about daily.
Yeah, I do too.
Alrighty. Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you have a very blessed week. And again, thank you for joining us. We'll catch you again very soon.
Have a good week.